We're doing a Chazanish, Emunah u'Bitachon. We're up to paragraph Chet. The Chazanish has been describing the phenomenal creature called the human being, Homo sapien, the phenomenal aspect of the design of the human being. Now we continue Inyana Dimayon, when we speak about our imagination, u'kach ne'etzal min ha'sechel. That's a force that's actually a glow of the mind. Our imagination is actually superficial, and our imagination doesn't delve into things, but our imagination has a way of convincing us. And our imagination has a way of taking our hearts into captivity. And our mind refuses to argue against our imagination. And so when we imagine things, when we perceive things, we have a very hard time thinking things through logically. How often does someone fall madly in love with someone? And Chaim tells you he can see his whole future with Rachel. And you see Rachel and you tell yourself, that's a bad idea. And you try to talk to Chaim and there's no one home, right? No one to talk to. So in one's perception, in one's imagination, they're already married and they're living a life of bliss. And you try to tell him. One of the difficult things is when Chaim sees signs, very often people are dating a girl, they see a million signs why they should marry that girl. And you can't argue with those things. When people think they see signs, so who are you? It's very hard for us to convince our mind to act against our heart. Once we've imagined something, we have a very hard time being logically convinced otherwise. Yes?
It can even be used as a tool in political means. Look at how this nation plays Imagine at almost every gathering for specific fields of the political spectrum, from John Lennon. And the whole song is about imagining things that may or may not work in the real world, so it's very much along the same lines.
Yeah, fair.
Could also be a mechanism for coping for pain. Like,
agreed.
Like to avoid pain.
So agreed.
Rationalize every single attribute to fit compatibility for
marriage. Agreed. The Chazanish is about to say something along those lines. Yeah. But the mind is always the adversary of the imagination. When a person actually can understand intellectually that he should not rely on his imagination. But sometimes, nonetheless, the imagination is victorious, because our imagination really fights its fight. It doesn't let go. History books are very often the guide of man along his path in life. And a person tries to establish his wisdom based on the experience of the past. You read a history book, you assume you trust it, and you think, if I learn the mistakes of history, then I won't repeat them. But every man has an innate pleasure at invention. We all like to be innovative. We like to feel like we've made our mark. And this is reflected even in a simple conversation. We have a very hard time sticking to the truth, because somewhere in there, if I could just stick in my 2 cents, I can embellish the story just a drop. And people very much like to speak before a crowd. They even get mics and signs. That's a Mechon Meir. And that's why you will find many lies in the history books. Because if I could tell the story the way it was, and I could draw a crowd of 50, and I could tell the story a little bit better, and I could draw a crowd of 500, So I'm going to tell the story a little bit better. And anyways, we all like to embellish our stories. We have a very hard time telling it exactly like it was. Ki ben adam eino sone et hakazav betivo, because man's nature is not repulsed by a lie. On the contrary, we feel very comfortable with lies. There's a whole industry called yellow journalism. And people actually purchase the Inquirer and the Sun and whatever else there is out there. They're making a living off of something, and it's not the people standing online reading the tabloid. It's someone who's paying money for that tabloid. So someone's paying money. That means we, and even those of us who don't pay money, but we're reading it. Woman is child with four heads and a dragon head coming out of the back. And we stand there looking. Come on. Okay? V'rabim o'avim otom shtashim bo shashuei yedidut. And on the contrary, the masses really enjoy a good lie, and it's actually very entertaining. V'arachacham lehaver b'sipurei ha'sofrim, lekabel et ha'emet v'lizot et ha'ksavim. And therefore, an intelligent person, when he reads history and when he reads stories, he is careful to sift through the stories of history to accept the truth and to discard the lies. And that's not so easy. And here you have a tremendous pedestal for the imagination. When it comes to history, our imagination can go wild. And it's a lot of fun. When I was a kid, I grew up on many things. One of them was the legend of Paul Bunyan. You guys heard of Paul Bunyan? Yeah? And his ox? Paul Bunyan was Canada? Where was? Where's the story of Paul Bunyan?
I don't know. Wisconsin or something? He was a lumberjack.
He was a lumberjack, but you know, with one hack of his axe, he could fell like 50 trees. Yeah, it's a big, big lumberjack. Yeah,
100.
Maybe 100. It's been a number of years since then. So I remember as a kid, we had a record. Records were these things, LPs, yeah. We had a record, and the beautiful things about records was that they had jackets. And the jacket had this big picture of Paul Bunyan's boots. As a kid, I'd sit there and imagine what Paul Bunyan looked like. Our imagination can really run wild, and we have a good time imagining things. Because our imagination is free, and it rushes forward, and it is decisive, and it decides things. Before our mind has a chance to get its boots on, our imagination has already charged to the finish line. It's reached a conclusion, and our mind hasn't yet had a chance to think, do I believe it, don't I believe it, does it make sense to believe it, not to believe it? Our imagination is already charging forward. In a split second, the imagination makes a decision, and it decides what's true and what's not. And if you don't rethink it, so right away, that's it. You've bought into it. So this paragraph, the Chazon Ish discusses the great tool we were given with our imagination. Joey pointed out that it's a tool that can be used for good. The Chazon Ish describes its limitations and the importance of man to recognize the nature of his imagination and hold it in check, as hard as that might be. The Chazon Ish alludes to our responsibility to discern as we study between fact and fiction, and that's very hard. That's very hard. It's especially hard when a person is new and he's new to anything, anything we're unfamiliar with. So it's very hard to know what's real and what's not. Someone came to me and asked me a question on Hoshana Rabbah after we finished our learning together. So this man comes to the kitchen, we're cleaning up, and he says his dining room table is a big screen. And on his dining room table, they have a computer screen, and he wanted to know if he's allowed to leave it playing going into Shabbos. So initially, I didn't know if he was telling me the truth or not. It seemed so weird to me. You know, you spill things, doesn't that destroy the screen? Can you really have a dining room table that's a screen, and I'm talking to this man, and I'm understanding that he's serious. Later on, I mentioned this to a friend of mine, and he said to me, yeah, with Windows 8, you can really do that. You can have a screen. I don't know if it's through a projector. I'm not sure how he does it. What?
It's older, I think. It's called service. It's old service.
I don't know. But I marveled at how, you know, you can someone can talk to you. You don't know anything about it, and you stand there and you wonder: should I believe him, or am I being gullible by believing him? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even sure. I remember an old couple told me that the wife's sister got a television. It was a new thing, the television. So all the neighbors came in to see the television. So her brother-in-law decided to play a trick on them. So they were invited to come see the television, and he sat them down and he said, watch. And he took a toaster and he pushed the button, and they sat there watching the toaster. And after about 2 minutes, the bread pops out with a boing, right? And they're like, wow. And he's standing on the side watching them laughing, right? They didn't know what they were going to see. So they're sitting there looking at their reflection and seeing it get hotter and hotter and hotter. And suddenly, boom, toast comes out. And, oh, that's a television? No. It's like they say, I don't know if it's true, that I don't remember. I think it was the guy before Columbus. Maybe Amigo, what was his name? Vespucci?
Americo
Vespucci. So I think they say he brought a banana to the queen, and she didn't know how to eat it, and she started eating it through the peel, and he started laughing, and he got punished for it. Yeah, sure, when we don't know, so then we really don't know. And the same is true when a person is chozer b'tshuva. So sometimes there's this hardship to discern, wait a second, what's fact, what's fiction, what's a medrash, what should I take literally, what should I take figuratively, how seriously should I take this? That's why a person has to learn. It's very hard when you start out. Wait a second, am I really supposed to accept this or not? And that's true again in every area that we are not learned, so we find ourselves wondering, how am I supposed to understand this? So I'm just saying this piece of the Chazon Ish has relevance to many areas in our lives, that a person has to realize that his imagination can charge forward, and he has to stop and say, wait, what makes sense here? What does my mind say about all this?